lived in the middle of it and come out on the other side. I was reading this morning, I was telling Homer, somebody that's probably somebody that you'd look up to pretty good, and has got some really strong credentials, and that's the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 27. And for whatever reason, he didn't stop the hurricane, but he lived through it. He lived through a week-long ordeal on the open sea with a ship, about three times in the book of 27th chapter, it says, with tumultuous, hard winds. Actually, if you look it up, I read through a number of two or three translations, it said hurricane force. So he was right in the middle of a hurricane. And he survived because God's angel was with him. So, hallelujah. We came through, and praise the Lord. So we just want to worship the Lord this morning. First of all, before we do anything else, would you just lift your hands with me and let's just praise the Lord. Father, we worship you. We give you all the glory, and we praise and we magnify you, Jesus. Far beyond emotions, Lord. Way beyond those things, Father. We give you worship. We give you family worship. We praise and glorify you. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you. We give you praise and glory that we stand here today in your house that did not blow away, Lord, that offers air conditioning and lights on. And Father, we thank you. We praise you that 1 week ago today, we were preparing for a horrible storm and we came through the storm and not one loss of life among us. And no major destruction. And we just thank you and we praise you for it. We give all the glory and praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's wonderful to see such a good crowd, really. Hallelujah. On this momentous occasion that we get to celebrate and just worship the Lord. As I said, we're going to have a somewhat abbreviated service, being that we still have families that are living here and kind of camping out during this time, and we want to respect them. And by the way, there will be no Wednesday service, because even if the power comes back on today or tomorrow, we need to give those families time to get settled in their homes. And praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. This is, for those that may be watching, it's 10:28 our time here in Immokalee on September 17th. And last Sunday at this time, we were all preparing, as I said, for Armageddon. And so it was amazing, those of you that watched the week before, it looked like by the Weather Channel that it was just going to barely kiss the coast of the East Coast and shoot back into the Atlantic. And believe me, over the last couple of weeks, I've become a meteorologist. I understand why. I couldn't understand before why it can turn at a certain thing at times, but I understand now by watching and reading. And there are, in the atmosphere, there are, I won't go into all that, but there's mountains and valleys in the atmosphere based on troughs. And whenever a trough is there, it can push those things down. But when that system that's headed northwest, as it was, as soon as it finds a gap in that trough, it'll shoot up. And we just happened to be that gap. And so it shot up, and it looked like it was going to hit the east coast of Florida, barely touch it. And we were saying, yes, it's going. And then it went past that point. And then it looked like it was going to go past us. And then about this time, or a little bit later, no, it was a little bit later, because it really began to hit hard in Immokalee about 4:45 or something like that. And so a couple of hours prior to, we still had power, electricity, and we were watching the news. And so then it began to say this. They began to say it's going to make almost the same landfall that Wilma did at Cape Romano down by Marco Island, and it did. And Gary told me he watched it, and it did just what they said it was going to do. It was going to go right up, go through Naples, and the eye of it did, and it followed right up through. And Amber, she's in Fort Myers, and she actually walked out to see blue skies. That means you're in the eye. And then, of course, it changed again. But I don't know if you know this. You probably do. But the eye, wherever the eye's at, that's bad. But that's not the worst. The worst is the right side of the eye wall. And what they said just before, all of a sudden, they about 2 hours prior, they said, now, you people, because it was on the news, they began to say, you people at Ave Maria, Immokalee, and LaBelle, you're going to get the worst part of it. You're going to get the eye, the right side all eye wall coming up through. And they did not lie. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we are here. Amen. Nobody, no loss of life, and nobody's home. I mean, there's some property damage. My home, there's parts of the roof that have to be replaced, but they will be replaced. Hallelujah. We sat the other night, and there's like four or five holes in the back dining area that were leaking, and the drywall was swelling with water. So to keep it from just totally collapsing, I stuck the screwdriver up in there so it'll just pour through there. So I have a video, and I sent it to Gary. It was pretty neat. Candy had just put a table out, and so we're ready to eat, and we've had family with us this week, and we're so thankful the way things have been. We were housing up to 9 at one time. And we just got along and had a good time and just praised the Lord, because Tuesday of this past week, this building got power, got electricity. Hallelujah. And so we've also been able to, be a part of helping the church family. So I took that video in our back living room, and the water was just, watching it was just coming through like a faucet, wasn't it? Sure was. Well, I want to appreciate my son-in-law and say, man, they were there with us during the storm. We got, like many of you, we got about 6 hours of the eye wall, about 5 to 6 hours of that eye wall. And with hardly let up, I would say a lot of 100 to, I talked to my friend that is part of the sheriff's department. He come by and checked on us a day or the same day, the next day. And he said that Immokalee got the eye wall come through. And so we got up to probably about 120 mile an hour winds here. And about 5 hours of pretty much hurricane force winds. I think hurricane force winds is 75 or above. So we got at least that, I would say, for about 5 or 6 hours. My son-in-law, we at one point, I didn't board, I didn't tape. So at one point, when it was shaking the hardest, when a block home starts kind of shaking and breathing a little bit, you start saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But I'll tell you this right here. Maybe for convenience purposes, maybe. But I'll tell you, when you have peace, and I believe I'm speaking for many of you. Sometimes you go through something in life and you say, oh my God, I'll never, I couldn't survive going through that again. I don't have that scar. I didn't have it after Wilma. I don't have it now. It's like, if you live in Florida, you better learn to not live with this, but you better learn to get tough. Because, folks, this ain't the last one. We need to learn to stay tough. Hallelujah. If you're going to live here, now if you want to go to Oklahoma where you can get tornadoes, hallelujah. But you just better get tough and believe God. And so we praise God for all of you. At one point, Watson and I were stacking furniture. We have one couch. If you've ever been to our house, we have the big plate glass window. And we had a couch there. And I said, I think we need to put something up against that. We took another couch on top of that one, didn't we, Watson? We put that up against the window. And then when the backside, and most of you know this, the backside is usually the worst, that back part. I still had my fence in the front side. When the backside came through, it was like, goodbye, see ya. And that's where it all left. So at that point, we got in the bedroom for a while and put some stuff up against the windows and stuff. But, you know, right afterwards, I have a video, and I bet this is part of you. I right after all the kids were sitting there and the kids, we were singing and we were happy, and that's the peace of God. Hallelujah. If I had, are you using your phone or mine? Okay. Yeah. My daughter is helping me out here. This is a real, hi everybody, real impromptu service. We never worry about formalities anyway. I just wanted to read a couple of short texts to you guys from Tim Stemple. I talked to him this morning, and because I let them know where we're at and that many of you still have no power and that you're camping out here in the auditorium. And so Gary sent me something I just want to, it was something short. He received this morning. He said he just felt like he wanted to, it was too good and timely not to share. It's just really short. It says, victory is not in numbers or in other apparent success. It's simply knowing that you heard the voice of the Lord and are being obedient to it. Have a blessed day. Hallelujah. That's us, folks. That's us. And I thought about this morning. I sat down by Homer and I was talking to him. I said, you know, we're in good company because the Apostle Paul, we've read about all the things he went through. And amazing enough, one of those, well, it corresponds with 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but Acts chapter 27 is one of those events. He went through a hurricane and rode it out on a ship. And eventually they were shipwrecked and landed on an island, but 276 men. We'll read that scripture sometime. If you want to read it this afternoon for edification, it's Acts chapter 27. 276 men, and not one of them died. Not all of them were saved alive. Hallelujah. So we praise God, and Tim sent this. He says, please remind everyone that this event does not change one tittle in the blueprint that heaven has for the family of the prayer center in Immokalee. It only increases the fulfillment of His will on the earth. And as many hugs as you can give to everyone from the family in Tulsa, please do so. So every time I hug you this morning or Candy hugs you, we are giving you a hug from Tim and from the Family Prayer Center of Tulsa. Love you and respect you. And he goes on to talk about some things. Hallelujah. So Jim Martin also wanted us to know that he loves us and that they're praying for us. And so praise the Lord. Amen. In a few moments, I'm going to read some scripture, but I want us to go around and give a big hug. And I appreciate everybody, your prayers and your support. Two things I want to do. I'm going to just put up an offering basket up here. And if you have anything this morning to give, praise the Lord. But I also want to tell you that our first obligation is to you. And the word says that the children do not lay up for the fathers, but the fathers lay up for the children. That is a word. That's the word of God. And so as a father and as an elder, as the shepherd of this house, I want you to know that my desire is first for you guys. And so take care of your families first. But also know this, that the church is itself going to be going without four or five or six. I don't know when we'll get back to normalcy. So the offerings that we were receiving are not coming in from us, like on a normal basis. So just pray with us. Whenever you're able, it doesn't have to be today, but whenever you're able and your needs are met first, then we appreciate you giving out of that. And there's people that maybe are able now, so we appreciate, that's what Paul was teaching in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He was going to the Corinthians and to the churches of the different churches of Galatia, and he was saying, your prosperity now may be a blessing to the need in Jerusalem. And the people of Jerusalem were going through a famine. So, folks, we are the wheat sown among tares. And so a lot of what happens on this earth comes to our house too. But praise God, we can. Every one of the scriptures that we stood on, they worked. So, well, it came. Yeah, but what would it have done if we hadn't have been standing? What would it have done? I mean, we're here on a Sunday service with the lights on in the AC. Don't give me what. That ain't coming from none of y'all. And I hope it don't come from none out there. But we did a lot. His word kept us all alive. And his word has put these lights on here this morning. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, hallelujah. Let's all stand and let's give each other a great big hug. If you have something this morning, please just bring it down and just set one of them over here. And so, praise the Lord. And then we'll come back in just a minute for communion. Amen. Hallelujah. There is no children's church, so, and we don't want the children over there, so please, Carl, make sure there's no children over there in the trailer. Unless there is if a mother has to take a baby, but no children, okay? So if you'll go check it out now, okay? Thank you. People are staying over in the trailer, and we want to respect whatever they have over there. So some of the kids were asking about, was there going to be class? There's no class. There's no nursery. There's nothing over there. Hallelujah. But bedrooms. Hallelujah. Glory. I want to read a scripture to you, and then we're going to take communion together this morning. Hallelujah. This is in 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 8. It's verse 9. And don't worry about the kids. They're not going to bother us this morning. I mean, this is not your normal service, so it's okay. Let them sit in the back and play games. The word says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, it says this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Now, just real quick to let you know, and we're not going to take the time to teach y'all through this morning, but we're going to tie this in this morning to communion when we take communion together. We've been having some really good teaching on communion recently. Gary Carpenter has done some fantastic teaching on communion and just taking what we've known before in the past and taking it to another level. And we've understood more than we've ever understood before the dynamics of what the Lord did in putting us in remembrance of how that remembering in communion what he did has an awesome effect on the healing of our body. But also in his sacrifice for us in the atonement, in the beating that he took prior to, was not only those stripes allocated for our physical healing, but that was part of his poverty. When the word says here that we know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Now, I've heard ministers before say, well, he was living in the opulence of heaven. Then he came and he was just a shepherd, you know, he was lived a poor life, a meager life. That's not what that is saying. He didn't live as a millionaire. He lived as an ordinary man. He was a carpenter. So that lets you know He wasn't on the higher end of society, but he didn't live like that's not, it's not talking about his physical poverty here. When he became poor is when he gave his life as a sacrifice. That's the essence of poverty. That's, he became spiritual poverty, and the beating, the scourging that he went through, the stripes that were beyond 39, and the actual destruction of his body was the fullness of his poverty. He that was rich became poor, that I through his poverty, not his lived out, not having riches, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the poverty that came on him in that last 24 hours of his life. His beating, his going to the cross, the Garden of Gethsemane, that was the essence of his poverty. And all that came on him that because of that, I through his poverty might become rich. Now the rich there is also not talking about physical things. It is talking about spiritual things, that the riches of the glory of the inheritance of life in Christ. That's the riches I have now. But in that, in salvation, in sozo, in soteria, there's also the full essence of his financial blessings. And when we take this morning and eat of his body and drink his cup of his blood, I want us to remember this morning not only the physical part, but also I want us to remember this, that in his poverty, he's provided for our provision. So all the restoration that you need, whether you had insurance, don't have insurance, whether your lights are on or they're not on, the one thing I want us to do right now, I want us to pray for everybody that doesn't have lights. Amen? And I want us to pray that, listen, don't freak out if you didn't have insurance. And don't freak out if FEMA doesn't help you. And don't freak out. God is your source. He said, I will supply and meet all of your needs. How? I will meet your needs according to my riches in glory by FEMA. By, don't even get mad at another church brother or sister. Well, they didn't. According, I will meet all your needs according to the body of Christ. Oh, that's getting close. He still didn't say according to the body of Christ. I will supply and meet all of your needs according to your insurance policy. Man, I can't get you to agree with me on anything. Did he say this? I will meet your needs according to my riches and glory by who? Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, he can do it. He will do it. Put your solemn trust in him. If he uses people, if he uses FEMA, if he uses, wonderful. But they are not your source. God and God alone is your source. And don't get ticked off at anybody if they didn't. You help somebody else. Hallelujah. You be the one to reach out. Hallelujah. So Father, this morning we thank you. We pray that we'll be a light in the midst of darkness. And you are our source, and you're their source. And I pray that in the days ahead, restoration to them. In a moment, we're going to eat your body and drink your blood. And as we do that, we do it in remembrance of you. Now, Father, I pray for all of these families, that every one of them will be totally restored and beyond what they once had. Lord, however you bring it in, whether it's through a government subsidy, insurance, or a helping hand by a Christian brother or somebody in the world, Father, I pray today let these lights come on to the remaining ones that don't have lights in Jesus' name or power. In the name of the Lord, we just command restoration in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray right down to the last of the cleanup in the next few weeks and months will be done over their lives, and they'll have more on the other end of this than they had before. And we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Renee and Watson, you want to grab the other side of this? Just bring it up here. Just set it right here. Hallelujah. We're going to do this a little bit different this morning. In the past, we've had you gather with different groups, and we're just going to do different. We just see communion in the Bible as something really as a whole, as a body. So we're going to ask you to just come and receive, and then go back to your seat, and then I'm going to read a scripture, and we're going to pray, and that'll probably be the essence of the service. But everyone is invited to come and participate in this. Take the elements and then return to your seat and be seated, and then I will read and we will take together. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, you guys, yeah, if you want to come. Hallelujah. Frankie, you want to come and stand? Hold this bread. Let's all stand together. If you can give us something, Alex, to worship with a little bit. And just come and receive and then go back to your seat. Watch the kids. We want them to take communion too, but just you might want to hold theirs till they get all settled in. Okay, so come down anytime you'd like. Please start at the front. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just hang on just a little bit. We've got some more coming. The juice is from Juicy Juice packs that we had to squeeze. Hallelujah. Hey, this is wartime. Hallelujah. It's different in peacetime. It's wartime. Hallelujah. Candy, if there's no more Juicy Juice, bring us water. It's not water. It's Juicy Juice. Hallelujah. Candy had to squeeze them out of little packs. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this scripture while she's getting this ready. Hallelujah. Yeah, just bring some. Do you have any little cups? Good, wonderful. One thing that I loved, Gary taught a month or so ago and said, you don't need any particular you don't have to have certain kind of juice. You can do it with water. Because it does. Listen, it's not the element. It's in remembrance. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. She needs a little bit. That's my granddaughter. So, oh, Jesus. She's taking communion. That should be enough. How many still needs communion? Hallelujah. Let me read this. I'm going to take it with you guys. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to say that I love you. Candy and I love you. Homer and Rosie love you. And we're here for you. We're praying for you. We're praying with you. Homer, is there anything you want to say this morning? I know you're always full of good stuff, but he's just praying, and he's one of our leaders that are really good man to look up to in a time like this. So I want to read this to you. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, this, that the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me." Folks, I want us to remember that Jesus was beaten. He was beaten for our physical healing, but also every one of that crushing blows was part of his poverty for my restoration. So Jesus, we see you right now in Pilate's courtyard, strapped down on your knees, being beaten beyond measure. Every stripe is for a mockery. Every part of the blood that ran down your face, your beard, your back, that lacerated your torso, your chest, your legs. Jesus, thank you. I love you. I love you. I love you. That broken body, I receive, and we receive together in remembrance. You are our restoration. Let's take of the body. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's take the cup. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is unto me, this water that I drink or juice that we have in our hand, is the blood of Jesus. It symbolizes everything that he did for us in eternal salvation. And I drink his blood, believing in everything that he did, and receiving life for me and giving me that life. And Father, we receive life over our families, our homes, our households, our businesses, our restoration to our church. And we thank you for that blood in Jesus' name. Let's receive of the blood. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, the word says they sang a hymn and left. Let's, whatever, Alex, that you have for us, we're going to sing this song, and this will be it. No service on Wednesday. We look forward to seeing you on next Sunday. And God bless you. We appreciate all of you for coming, and thank you so much for your prayers and support. Hallelujah. Let's just worship through one more song together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. The splendor. Yes. Just pull it right on up. Good job. Blessed be the Lamb. Father, we worship you. Thank you for bringing us through. Thank you for all of your great grace and the presence in this service today. We bless you now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the precious, blessed name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We will see you next Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Yes. Hallelujah.